Well, church, would you please join me in a word of prayer to start our teaching this morning? Gracious and loving God, what a joy it is to know that you are seeking us no matter where we find ourselves. That you do leave the 99 and chase after us. God, I pray that this morning as we join together in song and in scripture, in fellowship, in presence with your Spirit being poured out in this space, let us hear your word this morning. God, I pray that you speak within me, that you speak through me, and most importantly, God, that you speak in spite of me. Let your will be done. It's in your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Well, church, it is a joy to be with you all here this morning. And we are continuing in our teaching today in Romans 8. We're following the lectionary. Last week, we were in the beginning of Romans 8. This week, we're towards the end of Romans 8. And so before we get started, and if you've kind of tracked my mannerisms a little bit, you'll know I love to ask questions to get us thinking about the scripture and the message and the teaching for this morning. And so the question that I have for us to wonder about is this: when do you feel the love of God most? Now, this may be an easy question to answer. This may be a difficult question to answer. And there's no right or wrong answer to this, really. Maybe for you it's a moment. Maybe it's a moment where you can pinpoint, I was in this situation and I felt God's love strongly and powerfully right then. Maybe it is a place. Lord knows we have places that just connect us with God. Maybe it's this church. Maybe it's your favorite restaurant. Maybe it's that place that you grew up that has so many memories tied to it that you know that God's love is being poured out in that space. And maybe it's with people. Maybe there's that group of friends that you know, when we get together, God is with us. And so whatever that answer is, and maybe it's, well, I'm not sure. I haven't thought about that before. Maybe you haven't reflected on, oh, there's these times where God's love engages with us strongly and powerfully, and that's okay. Because this morning we're going to be talking about this love that God has for us. And so our scripture is taken from, like I said, Romans 8. And it starts like this: what then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not with him also give us everything else?
To live in.
Amen.
He gave us a church to live in. I mean, listen to the word
right.
Of God.
And so when we think about what it means for God to be with us and to be for us, because this is a popular thing that we say, I know there's a song, "And if our God is for us." Do you know this one? What can stand? Don't let me just sing it again, right? So it's popular, right? We talk about, okay, God is for us. But something that I really like to bring from the hypothetical into the practical, what does that really mean? You know, we say it, or we read it, or we think it, but where does that really engage with our living, our day-to-day interactions? Well, does it mean that, I don't know, that we won't ever experience hardships? No. Right? That's just not the example that we see, that we live. There is suffering. There is hurt. There is pain. There is sickness. So that's not what that means. And even more so, sometimes we fall on hard times. Does that mean that God is not for us? No, I don't believe so. And my belief on this, it's rooted in a specific person, in a specific gentleman who did ministry as a part of the Catholic Church, so don't hold that against him. Okay, I know that we're all very, very strong Methodists, you know. But his name was Gustavo Gutierrez, and here's an image of him in his church in Lima, Peru. Okay? And part of his experience, part of his ministry, he was a missionary through the Catholic Church, and he was very academic. He loved to learn about God, and he did his priesthood and everything, and he did his education, but that didn't satisfy his heart. It just didn't seem like it made sense what he was learning and then what he thought was happening in the world. And so he decided to go and actually test out his theology, actually test his faith out. Instead of just sticking with, you know, the classrooms and the seminaries, he decided to go into the field and really see, what does it mean for God to love us, to be for us? And what he discovered is that when he was engaging with the citizens of Peru who had been through military coups and uprisings and violence, he still saw God's love being poured out and being felt in the community, even when all the other odds were against them. It almost didn't make sense. For him, he saw this hardship and he saw this pain and he said, how can they still rely on God? Well, what he realized is because God loves them and is the through line, even in the midst of all these turmoils, because there was nothing else to rely on. It was only God who could get them out of their situation. It was only God who could provide that next meal. It was only God that could make sure that their family was safe and secure. And so what started as this interest ended up becoming pivotal in how Gustavo Gutierrez spoke about God. And I was lucky enough to read some of his works. And they're beautiful. Because, like we sang this morning, it's rooted in one thing that I think sometimes we go back and forth on. It's that God is not against us. Thank you, Ben.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Ben. Because God is not against us. And I think that sometimes our question of, well, if God is for us, sometimes if we face hardships or challenges, then that means that God has moved away from us. But Paul says, that's not true. The starting point is God's love for us. And so if the starting point is God's love, and if the starting point is that God cares about us, then how do we answer this question? What can be against us? Well, surely there are some things that we feel push against our faith, or push against our experience. But do those actually separate us from God's love? No. I have a relationship in my life, and in conversations with them, they said, I asked about church, and I asked about God, and I asked about faith, because I can't stop it, right? This is my job. I do it all the time. And so I asked them about their faith and how they view God. And they said, well, you know, I've thought about church, and I've thought about going and participating in church and having a relationship with God. But I don't think that I'm good enough yet. I don't think that I'm ready for that. I think I have to still work on some stuff. And it's heartbreaking. Because I think about this question, what can be against us? And the only thing that I can think of is myself and ourself. Because Paul says, If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? If I am the one that is blocking that love that God has, then I'm not able to understand or to accept that love that is that fountain that is pouring out from God. I'm keeping myself from experiencing that goodness, that truth. And so I think about this, and I wonder if it's not tied to this next part of Paul's letter, when he says, basically, the answer to that first question, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." And I want us to stay on this for a second, because I don't know about you all, but for me, sometimes when I'm given a long laundry list of things, sometimes I just kind of skim through them, right? But this is pretty all-encompassing for us, right? Angels, rulers, death, life, things present, the future. What can separate us from God's love? Paul is trying really to say nothing. And as a church, I wonder, do we accept that ourselves? And I wonder even for me, sometimes when I am being hard on myself, or when I am having a difficult time, or when I am struggling to make things make sense, am I convincing myself that, well, it's because I've done something? Nothing. Nothing can keep us from the love of God. And it's an internal thing, and that's what sometimes makes it so difficult, because unless we accept that, we can't really understand how that expands to other people, right? If I can mess up and lose the love of God, or to reject the love of God, or if I can convince myself that, you know, because I did X, Y, Z, that God is not still loving me, then how much more easy is it for me to then project that? And that's dangerous. And I think it starts with ourselves. And I think it starts with understanding that we are made in this loving image, that we are created by a loving God, that we are not, you know, broken and useless, but that God created us out of love, and that God wants to have a relationship with us, and that the standpoint is not that God is waiting for us to make some big mistake so that God can say, "There," and take it away from us. But instead, in the midst of the suffering, and in the midst of the pain, and in the midst of the trial, we can rely back and say, even in the midst of this, even by being in the middle of it, God has still not abandoned me. That God's love is still not taken away from me, because there is nothing that can separate from God's love. Now, I've heard this and read this passage before. Perfect, because I skipped around a little bit. And so, yeah, sure, there's a lot of things that I can say, well, nothing in creation, nothing that is being made, nobody else can separate me from the love of God, no person, right? There's nothing that you know, no circumstances, no spiritual forces, nothing can eliminate that path, that connection, that bridge that draws me to God. But I wonder, because I have never really asked myself this question, what does it mean for us to say that life does not separate us from God? Because I think about this list that Paul says, and I think about all the things, like, you know, there's no external factors that can separate us, and there's no, you know, death itself does not keep us from the love of God. When we pass on from this world, we are accepted with God's grace and God's love, and we have that unity with God. but not even our life. Not even our life can separate us from God. And I want us to think about that. Because it's easy for me to say, well, you know, God's got me in the end. And that God will heal me in the end. But am I ready to accept that God can heal me when I make mistakes? That God is still there when I choose not to do the right thing? Can I accept that God is working in me no matter the life that I've lived and no matter how I have fought against God and argued with God and pushed against God and not been ready for the blessing and not been ready to hear the good word that Christ died for me, that even in that moment, the bridge does not get closed? That I am the one that is keeping myself from experiencing that true connection with a loving God, a loving Father, a loving Creator. And as we take that message out, right? Because I always have to ask, so what? Thank you. So what? Why does this matter? What does this mean for us living out our faith? What does this mean for us to accept that God's love is with us always? Well, I believe that the question that I ask helps us kind of frame the first question, frame why it's important. We have to feel it. We have to acknowledge it. We have to accept it before we can go and begin to share it. Because if it's something that escapes us, how can we talk about it being for someone else? And I'm one that, and Haley will attest, I'm very hard on myself. I'm very hard on myself. And there may be some other folks that you are your own worst enemy, right? But for me, if I can accept that even in my flaws, that even in my failures, that the love of God is still there, then how much more easily will that be for me to recognize the love of God when I interact with other people, when I go out into the world and engage with one another? And so really, if we feel God's love, if we experience God's love, if we can recognize moments in our life, like this morning during those songs, I felt it. And if I can say and claim, hey, that's God's love pouring out, in that message to say that God's love is seeking us out and tearing down walls, if I can recognize that God's tearing down walls for me, and if God is tearing down walls for you, then how much more so can we go and take that message to other people? Not because, you know, the old turn and burn kind of way of doing it, like, oh, God is angry at you and you need to come to church. But if anything, I want you to hear, hey, I've felt the love of God. And I've felt that and I can claim it. And it may be different from you, but I want you to feel that too. You see the difference between the way that that's presented? And it starts with the recognition that God is for us, not waiting for us to mess up, not waiting for us to get our lives together, not waiting for us to finally realize, oh, I'm living a good life and now God is going to step in, but for us to know that there was no time that God's love wasn't there and that we didn't earn it and we don't deserve it, and yet it was there. And we can help other people recognize that too. Would you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, sometimes it is easy for us to convince ourselves that God's love, that your love, is something to lose, is something that we can mess up and be exempt from. And God, that is just not the case. As Paul said, there is nothing that can stand against your love for us. And so this morning I pray that you allow us to consider what it means to be loved by you. Not in a hypothetical, not in a it's here and it's not, but how can we start to wrap our brains around the fact that you are always loving us? That we cannot stray so far in life that your love is exempt. Because through Christ, you opened that bridge and there is nothing that can close it again. Before we knew of you, you loved us. And so God, I lift up those here this morning that are in need of that reminder. Who are in need of knowing that you are a God that loves us. Regardless of the life that we have lived, regardless of the hardships of the path, regardless of the ways that we sometimes just didn't get it, those do not separate us from your love. So be with us, God. Remind us that you are for us, that you desire closeness. For all those that are hurting, God, we lift those up. For whatever is going on in life, God, you see us and you are with us in that. Remind us of your grace and your love. It's your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.